Thank you for choosing to listen to this message from our pastor, Brother Rob Coons. Let us enter now with the saints of God into a service already in progress.
Most gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank that your word is alive and well, Father, and your word dwells among men. Father, as we look to you, your spirit, and the spirit of the word this morning, Lord God, we ask you to open up our understanding and our hearts, Lord, to strengthen and encourage our hearts, Lord. Father, as we stand together, united together in one mind, one accord, in the wonderful mind of the Lord Jesus. Father, any other mind that would be outside of your mind, we call it not this morning. We ask you to destroy that mind, Father, in the name of Jesus. We thank you and praise you. Amen. You all be seated. Maybe before we go into reading of the scriptures this morning, maybe make a couple comments before we go into the scriptures and read. One of our government leaders, he used to be the head of the Republican House, and which I can't remember exactly what took place. I think he's a very knowledgeable man. But he made a statement this morning on a press conference. He said, I know many won't believe, and there was a man that disputed with him right there this morning, but he said we are in the beginning of World War III. You say, well, do you believe that, Brother Rom? Well, I can say this, that I know what's taking place throughout the world right now. When you say, talk about a world war, you're talking about many nations being involved and including all. So, you know, right now you could say, well, I don't think that all nations are involved. Well, they truly are, brothers and sisters. The whole world is looking on right now to what's happening over there. You know, we got things happening over in North Korea, and the United States has made some strong statements to North Korea and said, look, if you take and launch any missiles or anything, there's going to be a strong consequence for that, of you doing that. America's stood strong and said, this is what we're going to do, and they've done nothing. So the other powers of these other countries are looking on America in weakness, is that they're just talking. And the thing is that when we think of this Hamas and we think of these other Eastern countries pulling together somewhat, you know, you could say, well, right now this is with Lebanon and, you know, this problem. But you see, these other Muslim nations are all standing there, uniting together. So our intelligence knows that Iran is the one that launched the missile. They're taking advantage of what's going on the border there. They're the ones that launched the missile that hit the ship that was out there in the Gulf or wherever it was there. You see, brothers and sisters, Israel's done everything they can. They've appeased and compromised these people. This isn't some new thing that just started up in the last few days. If you know, it wasn't too many months back or whatever, we could say that Israel gave up part of their land over there to Jordan. They gave them up as they shrunk their borders down trying to appease these people. And they made a deal with them when they did that. They said, we'll let you have this land, but we want Jordan. They wanted these people to come in there and patrol that border and bring peace to it. Well, it hadn't happened. It just moved their missiles that much closer when they gave up the land. So they violated what they said they was going to do. They've been giving up land, brothers and sisters, for years and years trying to appease this thing that's there's no stopping it, that's going to take place and happening. These people are watching. America will have a great role to play in this. The problem with our country and our government, with America right now, it's divided within its own self. I'm not in agreement with President Bush in a lot of his foreign affairs and the way he's dealing with a lot of these things, but I can't say that I'm in all disagreement, but I will say this. If I was in full agreement with the way he's handling foreign affairs, his still hands are tied because there's such a divided house in America right now that people aren't looking what's good for America or good for the world or good for the nations. They're looking what's good for their political party. And there's some Democrats that have some very good understanding of foreign policy, that they should have a voice and be able to be heard, but then the Republicans will stand up and say, ah, just because he's a Democrat, or vice versa. The Republicans, or some of them have a good mind and a good understanding of what's going on, but then the Democratic Party is going to stand because it's going to against it because it's going to strengthen that other party, and all they want to do is get their man in. And with this kind of a divided kingdom, brothers and sisters, there's only one thing that could happen, and that's destruction and a fall. You should be standing and praying for Israel. You should be standing and praying for your country. This thing, I believe, will escalate. Brother Pike had made a statement that he believed that Saddam Hussein would bring in the Third World War. Well, you say, well, he missed it. And because he's incarcerated, brothers and sisters, this is why there's a lot of turmoil going on over there, because of Saddam Hussein. And I was in agreement with the powers that went in as a unified effort when many of the countries and many people united with us. It wasn't just an American thing. There was, you know, British went in with us and many other allied countries. I'm not in total agreement with it neither, because there's a divided house in that also. So, brothers and sisters, there's things that are setting up and happening. The message I ministered on Friday night, Brother Pike made a statement. He said, you sum everything up in a nutshell. He talked about a state of mind. He said, you sum it all up. All the revelations, everything that he taught, everything he did, he said, you sum everything all up in one nutshell. He said, it's one thing, a state of mind. And that sounds like a simple little synopsis, we might say, of a great multitude of revelation and words and events and things that's happening all over and everything to come in. He said, I sum it all up in a nutshell. It's a state of mind. Well, I say this, that Friday night's message, if you could have got a hold of the things that were spoken then and the things that were said, it would sum up everything in a nutshell what it's all about. Because brothers and sisters, it has to do with one thing, and that is Christ taking over the kingdom. Amen. So the thing is there's a lot of misunderstandings and a lot of things that people don't understand. But let's go to the scriptures this morning, maybe read a little bit, and we'll read beyond the veil, maybe, as we read again this morning. I want you to turn over to the book of Matthew. I don't feel very knowledgeable, brothers and sisters, and skilled in foreign policies of what's going on. As I told you Friday night, I don't feel like I'm a great Bible scholar. There's people that understand Bible and prophecy so much greater than I do, and historical events and things that happen in the history of man. And the one thing that I do know, and that is the Spirit of God. And I trust and walk in that to the best of my ability. And I don't find the Spirit of revelation in my heart violating the written word anywhere. And even though I may stand before you and say I may be unskilled in some of the historical things, or maybe the way some of these countries tie together in history and things, but I can see things by the mind of God and by the Spirit of the Lord of what's taking place in a global perspective and what's taking place right here in this little church. You see, brothers and sisters, there's things that we have to learn to understand that, you know, things operate by a spirit. And when you see a spirit going in a certain direction, people who are in that spirit will be going in the same direction as that spirit. And it doesn't matter if we see a global confusion. You see, there's not nothing I can do about that. But what I can do something about what's taking place here. And I can try to do something what's taking place in the congregation. You know, this is the church that God has put me over to pastor. And I am responsible. And if I see evil coming to your city, I have to cry out against it. This is what I can have a control of. It doesn't matter if the whole world comes to naught and the whole world is destroyed, brothers and sisters. I'm going to stand accountable to the Lord of what I indoctrinated and taught you. And I say that with a fear and trembling in my heart. I truly do, because I'm concerned. You know, I may not be able to change the powers that are set, the stage that's set in the Middle East, but I can change the same spirit that's operating in America or right here in my presence. The thing is if we could have a voice in our country and stand up and say things, but where does the church have a voice in America anymore, brothers and sisters? Think about it. You know, the ones that they reckon as church leaders in our country that give them a voice are sold out. They're in false doctrine, Antichrist, and they're the ones that they'll pull to for strength. You see, just as the message on Friday night, I said, this Antichrist, brothers and sisters, the whole world will go after him, and he'll pull them all together, and he'll look like a peacekeeper. So you see, brothers and sisters, there's some that they'll give the mouthpiece to and look at him as a religious man or one that has an understanding and give a mirror. The Pope himself has got great mouthpiece throughout the world. Even though we're not in agreement, but there are things I am in agreement with the Pope, where nobody else is standing against some things, he's standing, you know, against those things. But even though there's hypocrisy and things there that are laying within that, and the powers of Satan laying within the papacy there, it's still, there's a mouthpiece there. And the mouthpiece of America, brothers and sisters, is losing respect throughout all of the world. And just as I said this morning, it's because I watch this, and when I say I break the things down, we see worldwide singing into the household. When you see a parent that's always telling their children, if you don't do this, I'm going to do this. If you don't do this, I'm going to do this. If you don't do this, I'm going to do this. And you never do whatever this is. If it's chastening, punishment, grounding, whatever it is, standing in the corner, however you think your disciplinary action is to be, I'll leave that with you. But then you're just talking and talking, and you have no strength in your own households and within your own home. And your kids are irreverent and disobedient. So the thing is it's the same thing as a nation. They said these are the consequences if you don't do thus, thus, and thus. And they keep appeasing them and sanctioning and doing this and that. And there's some of these countries that are very small right now that could be controlled in such a way. And even some are saying that the affairs that took place there in Iraq were unsuccessful. I think we were successful in pulling a man down that would have brought a chaos into this world, which he already has, and it's still happening. But I think what they did was the right thing to do. I don't keep up with the political side of it well enough to know if I'm in agreement or disagreement, but they're trying to get a democracy in a heathen nation, and it's going to be a very, very difficult thing. Now, if they can get the people together to come into a mind, it would be one thing, but there's so many divided minds right there within that nation. That nation is in turmoil. If we would just hand it back over to them, there's going to be a civil war instantly, because there's still people fighting. You know, these different Muslim people are not in the same kind of agreement and same kind of mind. If America was turned over right now to the religious powers of America to run this government, it would fall in a moment, because the religious churches are so divided in America right now. As I ministered not long back and emphasized out the other night, America is serving an unknown God. You could say we're all using his name, Jesus. We all should be together as Christianity. But we're so far apart, brothers and sisters, in the mind of God, in the revelation of the Lord and the things. People that are even supposed to be indoctrinated. Let's talk about something that's close. You know, Brother William Branham and Brother George Pike are close in a lot of their things. And Brother George didn't destroy Brother William Branham's teaching. He built upon it. And he went on into greater revelation and insight. Brother Branham might have been looking at the thing properly, but he was looking at maybe 50 miles off where Brother George brought it down to the finite. He was talking about Paul's revelation, how the Lord showed him of even going into what he said in a vision. And he said he saw him eye to eye, and he started looking, and he said he went beyond the eye in through the pupil. And he said it just was showing that how close this thing of the revelation of the Lord, how close it will bring it into view. The thing is Brother Pike is not with us today. He's not here to look at what's happening in the nations and tell us that he was operating in the same spirit that we are accessible to, brothers and sisters, that we can tap into in whatever measure. You know, you may never come to anything close to the measure that brother had. But the thing is it's still the same Christ that's speaking. And if we can see and comprehend and understand things that are happening, and it's one thing to understand what's going on globally speaking, but it's more so to understand what's going on right here. Because no matter what's going to take the events out there, this is where we have to be. Even if when you read in the words, if you read about the Thessalonian change, and you read even in some of these passages and things that we might even touch on this morning, you'll find that they're telling you not to be troubled. Don't be soon shaken. They teach you to stand. Because see, this is where we got to have the stability. No matter if everything crumbles around about us and this nation falls, you better have something right here to stand on. Because I'm telling you, your faith is going to be tried. This nation is going to be shaken, brothers and sisters. Let me say a couple things before I read the scriptures. Brother Pike taught some things about, you know, a stone age, a mechanical age, and an electronics age. Well, we've witnessed this. And no matter what you believe, America has changed from a mechanical country. It was a very prosperous, when we went go through the 20s, 30s, and 40s of the things of the mechanical age really coming in, the big factories, mass production, building automobiles. This was all mechanical. There wasn't anything electronically being done. Everything. The sewing machines are mechanical. The printing press is mechanical. All these things mechanical. And it made great strides of progression, going from a stone age, so to speak, into a mechanical age. Well, you see, the things have changed. We're not no longer a mechanical country or nation. We are absolutely governed by electronics now. Let me tell you, we think of the powers of missiles, and we think of the powers of terrorism. A man can sit down that's knowledgeable, and the government is doing everything as quick as they can to protect this electronic mind, so to speak, that they built. It has to do with the beast. But they're doing everything they can to protect this thing, and there's hackers, there's children that are giving place to these kind of minds that can shut down companies and different things and hack into their powers and take their finances. But there could be an electronic chaos in this country and shut America down. I mean, overnight. You see, there's a change. This nation is now switched over to an electronic age to show something. And there has to be a switching over, brothers and sisters, in the spirit. You see, there was a soul realm religion. I've spoke about this. And America's religion was very soulish. But see, a soul realm is a catching up into a mind, yes, but it isn't coming through the door. It isn't coming into the spirit. But it is partaking of the spirit. You see, the spirit condescends to the soul realm. And there's supposed to be a catching up of that into the spirit. But what happens is, because of this condescending of the spiritual realm to the soul realm, people partake of the soul realm while they're walking in that, but they never progress back into the spirit. And they believe that they're in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit when they're seen through a glass darkly. There's a twilight realm in the soul realm. It's not a clear vision. It's not a clear light. It's not a clear thing, and it needs to be caught on in. Now, the thing is that is the mass majority of the whole church world. And if I apply it right here in the Christian temple, it'd be alarming for you to hear that I would say that it's a majority right here within our own little church. Even if with all of my attempts to bring you to revelation and to bring you into walking in the Spirit and those things, that there's more of you that walk in a soulish religion and in a soul realm. If you would have perceived the things that were said to you on Friday night, you could have brought it to yourself and analyzed your own self and found out who is leading you. Are you being led by the Spirit of Christ, or are you being led by the son of perdition? And then when you start differentiating that, when you found that you're led by the son of perdition, which is an understanding that you are fleshly and led by your flesh, it makes you antichrist and you are lost and you're going to perish. It's bringing it down, brothers and sisters. It's things are wrapping up and closing up and we need to pull in. The Bible says that it's the end of the summer. You know, and has that soul been saved? And it's running down. You say, are you alarmed because of the foreign affairs? Well, brothers and sisters, if I would, I'd be some kind of an ignorant individual to see these things happening. You say, are you afraid, Brother Rob, or are you in fear? Well, I have the fear of the Lord because I know that the great and terrible day of the Lord is about to come on this whole world, and we better get established. And I might not be having fear for my soul, but I have fear for a generation and a people that are not walking with God and by the Spirit of God. Let me read some scripture. I want you to go to the Matthew, the 21 chapter. I'm not going to read much there, but I'm just going to touch on a couple little things here. And hopefully the Lord will let us maybe speak about some things. I'm trying to bring you into an understanding to start rending some thoughts. I'm going to go to 21 verse 42. It says, Jesus said unto them, did you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner? This is the Lord's doing. And it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. Now see, if we would look at this in the mind of God, we'd go back and look and we're seeing an exhortation going to a natural Jew. And the Lord's exhorting them because they're rejecting him. God is exhorting them because they're rejecting him. He said they played the role of the harlot under every green tree. And he's saying that, hey, this kingdom is going to be taken from you and it's going to be given to another nation, going to the Gentiles, which would be the spiritual elect if they could come to the mind of God. It's a different dimension altogether. But this is what was being said here. But I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, everything has taken a complete circle now and it's come back. And this is what the American ministers need to be saying to the churches of America. You're saying, brothers and sisters, you've rejected the kingdom of God and it's getting ready to be taken and yanked away from you and it's going to be given to another. It's going right back to where it come from. Do you realize that because of their natural mindedness and carnal mind, which is enmity with God, and because of their carnality, that this thing is going to go right back and they're going to have to form in with the alliance of this government that is going to be set up. And they'll follow after, America will most definitely follow after the Antichrist and submit all of its powers to him. Because that's where it's going to. It's going to be a switching over. Everything runs a pattern of a completion. It'll run a complete pattern, it'll come right back around. And if you could learn to watch out in your own life, you'll find the mind of God, how he's dealing with you. And you'll find yourself running a complete pattern before any great things is going to take place in your life. You'll see a fulfillment of whatever it may be, wherever he has you at. Let's go on here just a little bit more. I want you to go over to the 23rd chapter. There's a few things that I'm going to touch on here, possibly, if the Lord will allow. It says, the first verse says, then spake Jesus to the multitude and to his disciples, saying, the scribes and Pharisees sit in Moses' seat, speaking of the things of the law. And therefore, whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. For they bind heavy burdens and grievous to be borne, and lay them on men's shoulders, but they themselves will not move them with one of their fingers. But all of their works they do for to be seen of men. They make broad their phylacteries and enlarge the borders of their garments, and love the uppermost rooms at feast and the chief seats in the synagogues, the greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi. But be not called Rabbi, for one is your master, even Christ, and all ye are brethren. And call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your Father which is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for one is your master, even Christ. Now I'm going to comment on that a moment. Brothers and sisters, Brother Pike was very strong against churches naming themselves the ministry of Jimmy Swagger, or the ministry of Kenneth Copeland, or the ministry. Because, see, this is exactly what they're speaking about here. They want to be recognized of men. They want to be exhorted and picked up and everybody look at them, when it should be pointing all authority, all power, all glory, all honor unto the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the same thing that Jesus dealt with. It's no different today, brothers and sisters. If you would look and see and try to comprehend exactly what's going on in your generation, in your day and hour, it is no different than when Jesus walked the earth. Now this message is going to have to be tied in with Friday night's message to even understand all that. Because I'm telling you, the things that were ministered here on Friday night would bring it all to a finality of everything that we would say is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're not seeing it. Many times we've got it into some kind of a quote or an intellectual application. Or, you know, because we can understand allegories and types and shadows and see what this means and this means and this means, there has to be, brothers and sisters, the revealing of Christ in you, the hope of glory. That is the only hope. And that is the only thing with glory. Amen. Let's go on here just a little bit farther down there. I'm going to go to verse 33 of the 23rd chapter. It says, ye serpents, ye generation of vipers, how can you escape the damnation of hell? Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill and crucify, and some of them shall ye scourge in your synagogues and persecute them from city to city. I'll bring that to a present day truth again. Brother Pike poured his heart out. And I could even back up even to the former one before him. By the mind of God and revelation, one would show Elijah, and the other one would show Elisha, or one would show Elijah, and the other one would show the Christ in this time. And when we would look at it and understand that, both of these men have been cut off from the religious world, and they've been numbered. And they won't receive anything they said. They put them to death. Just this is what the scriptures are saying here. This is the condition. Brothers and sisters, there's some of you sitting in my presence that struggle with the revelation of the Lord and the things that I teach. And you go through your carnality, your human reasoning, and you number it as old-fashioned doctrine. And you think you got it all worked out and that you've got the Lord Jesus Christ. And you're going to continue on to live in the world and partake of the world. But I'm telling you, your day's coming to an end. There's going to be a shaking like never been seen before. And the thing is we need to start holding on. We need to get out of the jealousies and envies and the strifes, and we need to unify together in one mind and one accord and stand. Because there ain't going to be too many things standing together, brothers and sisters, and we need to do that and help one another. If I'm an heir, help me in my heir. If you're an heir, maybe I could help you with your heir. But we don't need to be in these strifes, because it's getting to be a very small, small flock. So we need to stand and hold together. As we go on down here to verse 37, it says, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathered her chicks under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth till ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And it says, And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him to show him the building of the temple. Now again, as I read the scriptures to you the other night in Thessalonians, I said, don't read this as history and don't read this as future. Because I'm going to show you when we get done reading here that the Lord said that these things shall come to pass before that generation passes. So you better read them in a perspective of coming to pass. And not so much as past tense and not so much as future, but need to apply it to right now in this very day and hour. And then Jesus said unto them, See not all these things. Verily I say unto you, there that shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. Now if we back right back up over here into 21 or 22, it talks about that the stone that rolls upon them and a crushing. That there wouldn't be anything. You see, there's another application of that in the Spirit. It's right back here in the Scriptures, but let me go on here. And it says, And as he said upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. America's a deceived nation in their religious hypocrisies. For many shall come in my name. There's everybody's a Christian in America. When you say I'm a Christian, you've come in the name of the Lord. This is exactly what you've done. For many shall come in my name and saying, I am the Christ, Christian. I am the Christ. and deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. Let's talk about that for a moment. When we think of nation against nation and kingdom against kingdom, I stand here and say that the kingdom of God dwells within me. You stand here and say the kingdom of God dwells within you. And we've got two kingdoms divided against one another. And it's nation against nation and kingdom against nation. We're bringing it into a present truth, brothers and sisters, that we can understand the mind of God and the mind of Christ. When we say that the kingdoms of this world must become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ, that He could reign forevermore, we're too busy trying to win America to the Lord Jesus, and we've lost this kingdom right here. This is the kingdom of the world, and it's got to become the kingdom of Christ. You see, that doesn't mean that we just turn our back on the other perspectives. But many times we're looking at the overall, the big picture out there, and we miss what's important as unto you. Am I telling us that we need to be people that run to our own household and leave the house of the Lord lay waste? No. Or am I saying that we shouldn't be concerned for the lost and winning souls? That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying many of you aren't bringing it into a personality and working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. I could say this to the mass majorities of the preachers and the pastors and the evangelists in America as they're making endeavors to go around the world, making twofold more the child of hell. That they need to turn within and start wondering about conquering the kingdom of the world. That's their worldly vessel, their carnal thoughts, because they're led by their kingdom. When we talk about ideology, it's because you study your own ideas and your own thoughts and you've made them religious. You've turned your thoughts into religious thoughts and make you think that you are in the spirit. What you did was took carnal things and put a twist of religion on them like the Pharisees did. And then you make your endeavors seem to be religious and thinking that you're about the Father's business and doing something when it's led by carnality and human reason or ideology. See, this is the same thing when we go to astrology, the study of the stars. They'll take and make it religious. And they were put there for signs. You know, and even an individual that knew the study of stars had to come and vindicate William Branham's ministry by the stars because the church denied it and they put him out and killed him just as they said right here. And they put him out. The same thing with Brother George. You see, the same thing, he was put out and numbered as a cult. And even the people that sat under him divided in mind and haven't come into the mind of revelation that he brought so forth. Do you see, brothers and sisters, we need to come to the mind of Jesus Christ, the mind of revelation, and walk to the best we can. We had great leaders and great lights before us to follow as examples and things, but we have to do to the best of our ability, walking in the same spirit to the best of our ability. Amen. So that is what would become in our reasonable service. So when we talk about right here again, I'm going to say where it says there shall be famines and pestilence. I find a famine for the word of God. There's people that may be fat naturally speaking, and they may be fat intellectually speaking, very well versed and very well studied. Well, the Bible, this, we're in a day and hour of mass amounts of information given. And people could, it don't matter who you're talking about, what personality they are, what kind of religion, what kind of people, you could sit down in your homes right now. You don't have to run to the public libraries and take much time, just simple hit a couple buttons and bam, you got a masses of amount of information of every kind of people, every kind of religion, every kind of teaching, and they're so conglomerated of so many different things, and they're all coming together. But it's an anti-coming together and an anti-move. There's Christian people that are going around and, you know, thinking it's okay to fellowship with Muslims and those kind of things. And there's all kinds of people coming together right now, but it's the tares being bundled together. When we're in a time and hour of a slight gleaning of the fields, and if you're in this mindset that you think that America's a Christian nation and all of these churches are all Christians and it's such a great, awesome time of God and all these churches coming together, then you are deceived by the Antichrist. Because if they preach any other gospel than what Jesus Christ preached, let them be accursed. The churches of America are Catholic. The churches that are professing Christianity, including our Pentecostal churches right here in this area and all throughout the world, they've turned over to the great whore Catholicism, and they're walking in agreement with the Catholic Church. And they think that they're different, They call themselves Protestant, but they're preaching the same identical doctrine as Catholicism. They're numbered in Catholicism, and they're going to find themselves in eternal judgment. Or I will say, as I said Friday night, they may go through the tribulation, and they will pay with their own blood because they've trampled the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ under their feet in this day and hour. Now, I know these things will sound strong to you. I am setting myself apart because I've been hid away with Christ and set in, caught away into the heavenlies. So I could speak like this because I'm caught apart from this. But when you're carnal and natural-minded, you have not been caught away. The church is waiting on a rapture and looking for a rapture. And again, if you would look into the message again on Friday and the message I preached on the resurrection, the rapture has already taken place and the church has missed it and they never even saw it. And they're waiting for mass hundreds of thousands of people to catch away. And I know you'll never understand what I just said in your carnality and your human reasoning. And you're waiting for some big mass exodus of people to be caught off of this earth. And there will be a rapture of such, and that's a bodily rapture. And the rapture I'm talking about is a spiritual rapture. But because of a lack of differentiating between body, soul, and spirit, and you're natural-minded and carnal-minded, and God says He's afraid of you that are always looking for signs. You want to see with your natural eyes to confirm God. You want to see Him come on a white horse and the clouds roll back like a scroll and see Him coming in that way. That's to the natural Jew, but the church, Jesus Christ, the true church, has already happened, or He is a liar in His word. And I'll show you that as we read on just a little bit. And my God is not a liar. It's impossible for Him to lie. But He said that these things should come to pass before that generation passed. Well, let me tell you, this was spoken back 2,000 years ago and those things came to pass, brothers and sisters, because it's worlds without end, and there's things happening within the spirit on a continuous basis. Amen. There's people being caught away in the heavenlies on a daily basis, and I pray and hope that you could be caught away into the mind of revelation and the mind of Christ to perceive, comprehend, and understand exactly what I'm saying. So when we find a famine, there is a famine. People that are sitting in gluttony. The Bible speaks about the Laodicean Day church. It said that they're blind and miserable and naked, but then they're rich and they have no need of nothing. America, brothers and sisters, can't get a hold of God. They've been so blessed and walking in the fatted land so much that they can't get a hold of God. They don't have no need of God. They blast Him and they ridicule and mock Him. He's been crucified afresh by this nation and the leaders of this nation. And they don't need Him. But there's going to be such a chaos in America when they turn to find Him, they will not find Him. And this is a Christian nation. But they will not find Him because the dispensation of time is changing over. There's a closing of that particular door that America has sought God in. And what they did is God's given them the opportunity in the soul perspective realm to transformate in mind, transformate in thought, and into the mind of Christ and thought of not robbery to be equal with God and be caught away into the heavenly things. And in the dispensation of grace, they've been allowed to do that. They've been allowed, brothers and sisters, in the dispensation of grace to stumble and stagger around and fall. But the thing is, they will not catch away into the heavenlies in that kind of mind. They've got to come out of that. You need to find stability in the grace. It said, don't take the grace of God to lasciviousness. You know, don't take and turn the grace into that. Don't use it for a license to stumble. When Paul said, you know, because he sees where sin, that grace much more abounds. Don't use those things to your advantage to walk and strengthen the things of humanity or the flesh. We take advantage of the grace of God for one thing, to grow in the grace and knowledge. When we grow in the grace and knowledge of God, we come to the revelation of the Lord and we come out of the world and we're a separate people. We separate ourselves from the religious orders of America because it's not the same God that we serve. It's not the same Jesus. The message that Brother Paul preached there about the unknown God in Ephesus, that message needs to be preached to America. You know, brothers and sisters, I wished I had the opportunity to pull the American, the religious leaders of this country together and really pour my heart out to them. But I'd be crucified and killed just as the prophets of old. They would not receive the things that Brother Rob has to say. Does it make me superior to them? No, I'm the least of any of them. I'm a nobody. But the thing is, there's the Spirit of God that dwells in me in whatever measure it is, ever how small, but it has been gracious enough to me to let me see and understand and comprehend what's happening in this day and hour, that it's not coming on to me as unawares of what's taking place and what's happening. And don't let it come on to you as unawares. You need need to separate yourself from your carnality, from the way you see it, the way you perceive it, because you're serving an unknown God, because many of you have got this God worked out, and you've made him into a whoremonger, and you've made him into an adulterer, and you've made him into a fornicator, is the way that you've made your God. Because if you'd understand things by the Spirit, you're asking him to have a relationship with you, that you could have the heir of Christ in your life, and you're asking him to have a relationship with you when you're a whore. And I'm speaking to male and female both alike. So the thing is evidently they must not understand God. You know, when a woman was going through the ritualistics there in the Old Testament to be cleansed to go in before the king, now if she went out and violated the cleansing and didn't follow through the cleansing and those kind of things, she would have been cut off and not ever been able to go into that secret place. It wouldn't have happened. And if we could see that and understand that, then the cleansing by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ most definitely cleansed you and made you clean and a bride without spot, wrinkle, and blemish. You say, that's an awesome thing. What was that cleansing for? Why did he come and cleanse you and make you without spot, wrinkle, and blemish? You see, the heir is not the bride. It's the son, brothers and sisters. You go back and look at your allegories. The woman was cleansed and she went in before the king, and the heir was the child. That was what the heir was. And when we say we're joint heirs with Christ, it's because after the cleansing by the blood, I'm not doubting that you were cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, because he cleansed all and made them attainable. But the thing is, just like I don't question callings, I say, but I question choosings. So the thing is, it's not a question of if were you cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. It's after you were cleansed, have you entered in to that secret chambers of the Most High God into the relationship? There's a lot of allegories that are taking place in the land that show things that are happening. When we read the thing, there's a fine line of understanding here. But when we read the parable about the seed that's sowed in stony ground and it comes up and the sun scorches it out, and then we find about seed being sown, brothers and sisters, in good ground. You see, there's seeds of life going forth from the sacred desk. There's seeds of life been going forth from ministers and revelation and the mind of God that's gone forth. And some of it didn't go into good ground, and that sparked out. But that's not killing the Christ out when you talk about seed, because it didn't receive into that woman perspective of good soil. And that's your obligation. You see, when you're disputing against holiness and walking in virtue and righteousness, there's no other way that seed is going to fall into your bosom. There's no other way except you be made holy. And the only way that you can be made holy is by the sacrifice and by the blood of the Lamb. But when you've received that, then there's going to be a faith within your life that you have received those things by faith in God. And when you've received those things, it is going to change, and there's going to be a transformation of mind. And the only way we'll know that there's a transformation of your mind is by witnessing it in what we see and what appears. We saw the transformation from the spirit world transformed. We say Jesus come in that transformation realm, and he took authority over that body. He learned obedience by the things that he suffers, and put that Son of Man under obedience unto the Christ, the inner quickening spirit of the invisible Father, and brought him into that obedience. This is what we have to do. We can talk about it. We can talk about revelation. We can talk about the spirit of revelation. But until we see the revelation in you, it's the manifestation of it. You could write the book, but do you have the spirit of the book? If you're written epistles, read known of all men, again, what we do is we read your book. And we have to read that book with an understanding. Amen. Now, let me back up here where I was reading at. So we find a great famine, brothers and sisters, and pestilences. And you say, what are pestilences? If we're looking at it in a present revelation, now, if we brought these things to a nation, we could talk about starvation all around the world, and we could look at it in the first dimension. We can talk about starvation all around the world. We see little pictures of little babies, their bellies popping out, and their eyeballs swelled out, and there's little skin and bones. So these things are happening, yes, in a first dimension also. But I'm bringing it into the second, or the blood life, or the soul realm, that you can understand what's happening, because this is where it's taking place at. When we think of pestilence, we see them around the world and the nation. My father made a great living as being in the crop control or crop dusting business, going around government contracts, trying to keep America where the pestilence don't come in and eat up our land or eat up the crops and those kind of things. So we see it in that dimension. But when we come into the things within the human body, there's the medicines are failing, brothers and sisters. They're trying everything they can to get the antidotes. There's pestilence coming against these things. Tuberculosis and cancer. cancers and AIDS and, you know, these herpes and all these different kind of things are just the pestilence, and they're a manifestation showing of people being consumed within their own flesh as the pestilences have taken over. So we have to bring it into a different dimension to really see the things that are happening within your own midst and right around your own life. What is an earthquake? It's a shaking, isn't it? The Bible says, don't be soon shaken. You see, brothers and sisters, I'm watching earthquakes in diverse places. I'm finding it coming to households. I'm seeing these things come into households, and there's a shaking happening, and some are being shook loose. Some are being destroyed. Are you prepared for an earthquake in your household? Are you so established and so stable? California's a state that is built, and they do a little bit of extra kind of buildings and footings and different things to stand for earthquakes. You know, are you prepared for an earthquake in your own life, in your own? Is there a shaking going on around your own self? Brothers and sisters, some of you are so unstable that it wouldn't take much of a shaking to shake you slap off the foundation. I'm saying this, brothers, as an exhortation to you. I love you. I'm not trying to stand here and stand better. You know, I'm saying that I'm trying to say these things to you, that we need to get a hold of some things. We need to get some footings dug. We need to get some foundation built in. We need to get girded up on some things, because there's things happening in the midst, and I could see a lackadaisical, lukewarm warmness in many of you. And the thing is you're not concerned. Am I talking about the world? Am I talking about the beginning of World War III? I'm talking about what's taking place in your life, because when these things let loose out here, it's another dimension taking over, and you're finished. Your finality's over. You understand that? When those things happen over there, if you are the elect of God, brothers and sisters, because when that thing happens and the blood comes off the mercy seat and that door closes and it just switches back over to the Jew, it's done for you. There isn't time to get a hold of the altars in. It's done too late. You've done missed your day of appointment. You are guilty of crucifying the prophets. You are guilty of crucifying the children of God. You are guilty of not hearing Jesus Christ speak to you. He's visited you. He's come to your households. He's sat and talked with you face to face, and you've denied him and spit in his face. And you say, Brother Rob, I don't feel like I've done that. You've done that through your intellectual reasoning of thinking too highly of yourself and in your own understanding, when you need to get into the understanding and the mind of God. When you come to the mind of God, you don't think more highly of yourself. You see eye to eye. You don't break ranks. You don't pierce each other through. You're not in jealousies, envies, and strife and power struggles. And, you know, brothers and sisters, you're walking in the fruit of the Spirit. You know, analyze yourself. You can say, well, I know Brother Rob's talking to this one and Brother Rob's talking to this one. I'm talking to each and every one of you and myself. Right. It's easy to get caught into these things of jealousies and strife and envies and esteeming. If you go back and read in Thessalonians there in the second chapter, and it shows us very much what the Antichrist is and how he shows himself. And I brought it to you as an individual. I brought it to me. If you don't know where the Antichrist is, we could just stop the service for a moment. I'll put it on hold. We'll all go into the bathrooms. The bathroom's big enough for all the women to line up over there and all the men over there, and you'll see the Antichrist. It's your old fleshly man. That's the anti-type, because it's the part that's carnality and human reason, and your whole life is giving servitude to your flesh. Be real easy to satisfy the flesh. The music ministries in the churches today go to suffice the flesh, make you want to wiggle a little bit, want to dance a little bit, and you say you're in the Spirit. You see, when you get those inspirations to your flesh, man, you're carnal, natural, antichrist. You see, it's the inspiration in the Spirit. It's a whole different thing, totally different. And it'd be happening right in your own midst and not even see it. So we have to come to the things of the Spirit, strengthening the Spirit. How do you strengthen the Spirit? How do you bring the Spirit man alive? How do you make him bold and strong and walking? Is by killing out the other. Again, the context of the message is the son of perdition on Friday night had to be killed before the returning of Christ or before Christ could come. And that's the part in your life. It's the Brother Rob, the Sister Lori's, the Brother Jonathan's, the Brother Andy's, the Brother Pete's, the Brother Dale's. It's the ones that's got to die that Christ could live. There can't be two dwelling and living within that kingdom. The one's got to live. And until we can understand that, brothers and sisters, then the thing is the revealing of Christ. That is the revelation of the Lord. That is the hope and glory. I'm bringing it to a personality today, brothers and sisters. And my hope usually is to bring it to you, to know who you are in Christ, that you can win others, they can see Christ in you. I don't bring these things to a selfishness that we're just going to have to do for ourselves that we can win others. I've told you in times past that you need to be out winning souls and helping others, doing other things, and Lord will take care of this one when you're busy doing that. But the thing is, brothers, we need to get a hold of this right now, working out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Quit trying to work out your brother's salvation and looking at your brother's household and over into his home and seeing all of his difficulties when you're stumbling over your own things in your own households. Amen. So it depends on how you look and what kind of eyes that we look through. Okay, we're talking about earthquakes in diverse places, and these are the beginnings of sorrows. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Jesus went on to say this, speaking to you as the sons of God. He said that they hated him first, and they're going to hate you also. So there's a checkup that you could check in your own life when you're just Mr. Popularity and everybody like you and everybody look for you coming. You are the devil and the Antichrist. You understand that? People don't like to see Brother Rob coming because he puts a stop on their carnality and their little worlds. And they don't like to see Brother Rob. I'm not liked. I'm not popular nowhere. Not even amongst my own, because the thing is I preach against sin, and you know they're called of God because they turn people from their sin. People want religious leaders. They say, it's okay. Jesus died for you. He shed his blood for you. Everything's okay. Praise God. Oh, this is my homosexual Christian friend. Oh, this over here is my lesbian Christian friend. Oh, this is my Christian friend. Let me tell you, there's no such thing as a homosexual Christian. There's no much such thing as a drunkard Christian. There's no such thing as a dope addict Christian. When you are a Christian, you've been filled with the power of God, the Holy Ghost, and He pulls you out of the world, and you are separated from those things. You can no longer remain in the world and those things. And I'm speaking about, it seems like, the hideous things that we might say, but let's bring it down to a finite. When brothers and sisters, you can be so religious like the Pharisees. You could ever seem to got every little check mark in place and every little I dotted and every little T crossed and your whole little world's in such perfect order. You've got every bill paid and everything just perfectly in order and be lost on your way to hell. You can have everything just so such and not drink and not touch alcohol, not smoke and not nothing and be so bound up in business mind and intellectual mind that you can't even hear God speak to you and you'd be lost on your way to hell. We need to get a checkup, brothers and sisters, and find out if we be in the faith, if we have take heed to the things that we have heard, that at any time we would not let these things slip. We need to be walking, brothers and sisters, as overcomers in the mind of God, the spirit of revelation, and we need to be taken forth. These people, when this earth is shaken, brothers and sisters, in the other dimension, in this world is going to think the Christian people are going to scatter everywhere because they can't run to their pastors because all they are is hirelings. And the Bible said when the wolf comes, the hirelings are going to flee. These men that call themselves pastors and shepherds in America, when this thing hits, they're going to scatter every which way. They're not going to know. They're not going to stand with their people or for their people because they're hirelings. And this is what America is going to see take place and happen. And there better be somebody with some stability and some strength. And you say, Brother Rom, well, don't you believe that when all these things happen, we're going to be caught out of here? That's what you'd like to think, wouldn't you? You'd like to think, well, guess what you teach us, Brother Rom, we're going to be caught out. I've already been caught out. Do you understand that, brothers and sisters? I'm not relative to this world. I told you that I am not an American. I am a Christian. President Bush is not my president. Jesus Christ is my King and Lord. I serve another. I respect the office of the presidency of the United States because I'm living in this land. And I'm numbered as an American with what you see with your eyes of iniquity and what you see through the eyes of outer garment or what you see is the lying vanity. But brothers and sisters, I put no hope in America. I don't put no hope or no strength in the militant powers of America. Because let me tell you something. Like I said, it wouldn't take much. A 12-year-old has some of the capabilities to shut America down. Do you realize that the powers of defense is so computer-minded that there's just a few little technical things that could happen to some few satellites and a few little things right here, some computer bases, and America's a weak nothing because they're totally dependent on this new age of electronics. It wouldn't take much to shut it down. There's technology out there that can scramble the radio waves and everything that's guiding everything. And all of a sudden, these things that are shot off to hit a certain point don't know where they're going. You see, the technology's there. It's turned into a different kind of war that's behind the scenes that most people don't even see or think about. And you see, it's because there's a spiritual warfare of the invisible realm of principalities and powers. And why people are chiding with one another and kingdoms coming against kingdoms and peoples against peoples or whatever it is. There's a spiritual warfare that's going on that the intention should be going over into those realms and those thoughts. You see, America's moved by foolishness. I'm pulling my kids out of school because, man, there was a Columbine shooting over here, and I'm sure not going to put my kids in public school. That's about the most stupid reason I've ever heard to take your kids out of public school. The odds of your kids getting shot in public school, they got probably as much odds while you're homeschooling them at home for somebody to come in the door and bust your door down and take advantage of them because it's more of a secluded place. The odds of that happening would be greater than some happened to them in public school. That's no reason to take your kids out of public school. The reason you take your kids out of public school is because of the mind of the Antichrist that is being their indoctrination. And they're telling them that everything's okay and everything's all right and to be tolerant and accept everything. That's the mind of the Antichrist, the mind of beast. That's what will destroy your kids. And they can go to Sunday school on Sunday and call themselves Christians and give their little offerings in their little Sunday school and do all that and go to hell. You see, that's why you don't want to put your kids in the public school system. You see, and this is what people do. They do things and they think they're doing the right thing, but they're just in a carnal mind and they've converted over to a religious mind. And that's dangerous. When you take a carnal mind and you take and get it memorizing scriptures and the Word of God and you got a little taste of religion, that's the most dangerous one that there is, because then they'll turn and use the religion. I tell you, brethren, all the time, you take and use the scriptures and the Word of God for your own advantage. The Word of God is not taken to apply for our own advantage, brothers and sisters. We do it for the others. Do good to them that despitefully use you. The Word of God is taken, brothers and sisters, to the others' advantage. When you're always looking for what's good for you, you're carnal and lost. But if you start looking what's good for others, then you're a Christian and you're saved. If you can start showing love for enemies and people that despitefully use you, then you've conquered something. But who of you can do that? How many of you can truly walk in that? I see God test you and put things before you to challenge you in your spirit to get some of those things that are offensive to Him that will keep you from entering into His kingdom. And I see these things come and shakings and different things come to your life and you just fail. And you'll never go on. You'll stay in the same old little ruts all the time. It'll be the same little persecutions, the same little tribulations, same little trivial things. And you're sitting there chiding over little nothings. Nothing. Feeble little nothing things, man. Absolutely nothing. And call yourself a Christian. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters. Where's our strength? What's our hope in? I hope it ain't monetarily speaking. If you put your hope in a bank account or in a trust or a CD or in your financial status or your income, let me tell you something. All that's going to be gone away with. Wall Street ain't going to be able to help you. The Bible says they'll take their money and throw it to the bats. Well, what are we going to do, Brother Rob? We're going to get in the mind of Christ and faith. Don't you realize that when those people went out of Egypt and they went out in there, I told you there wasn't no Walmarts out there. There wasn't no big water towers out there. There wasn't anything. They went by faith in God. And brothers and sisters, we can't sometimes get enough faith to pay our light bill. And we're talking about having enough faith to sustain us. You're a spoiled people, man. You get a little ice storm and your electricity's off for a day or two and you think it's the end of the world. You can't survive. What happens with all the electric grids are knocked out in this country? It brings great chaos. What are you going to do? Some of you act like you'd die if you was going to burn under a candle for a while. Some of you go 6 hours without eating. You tell people you're starving to death. What happens when everything's shut down? Where's your faith and what are you going to stand in? Well, I got enough understanding to catch a rat and eat it. Well, I hope you enjoy it. Hope you got a match to light it and cook it. Jesus said if you drink of what He's got, you'd never thirst. And if you'd eat, He said drink of His blood and eat of His flesh. Brothers and sisters, we're going to have to make a transition over into a spiritual mindset and a spiritual frame. You say, well, Brother Rob, do you think we're going to go through some catastrophic, great chaos? Or do you think we're going to be caught out of here? That's what I'm questioning now. Are you caught away in the mind of Christ now? Are you already caught away in the Spirit? If you're not caught away now, that body's never going to wit the redemption of that. And if you're serving your human mind of carnality and human reasoning, the only thing that you're going to do is go through the chaos and the tribulation of this world. And that's fixing to happen. You say, you're trying to scare us to live right? I wished I could. That's the God's honest truth, I'm telling you. But sometimes you don't have ears to hear. and you don't hear what the Spirit of the Lord's trying to say. You think it's the end, Brother Rob? You think this is all done? Hey, brothers and sisters, I'm going to talk to you like this if it goes on another 50 years. Because it might be your end tomorrow. You might be cut off tomorrow. You might be turned over to a reprobate mind tomorrow. Go back and read in Thessalonians and find what's happening with the son of perdition. It's happening now. And there's a rending of a veil between you and the Christ. And the thing is the son of perdition has been turned over to these delusions. To believe a lie and damned. What does believing a lie and be damned mean? It means that you go on and say, man, I'm the one. Man, I'm the one with great understanding. I'm the one with revelation. I'm the one with this mind of Christ. I've got the understanding. I've got the revelation. And you go right on through human reasoning and carnality and not doing good to others and not being in the mind of Christ. Compare your way you think and your lifestyle to the mind of Christ. Do you walk in these persecutions and tribulations without wrath and anger and malice and hatred and bitterness and strife and jealousies? When you're persecuted and used, how do you deal with those things? Let's read on. We need to get a hold of the mind of God. All these are the beginning of sorrows, back at verse 8. Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. If you see any of these things in your life, brothers and sisters, coming to pass. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. Yeah, we could talk about the Baptists, the Methodists, the Pentecostals, the Church of God, the Assemblies of God. I'm going to name them all. I don't care what you call it. There's many false prophets in all of them. Brothers and sisters, these preachers are running off with women. And there's a church right down over here in town that the music minister was a woman. She runs off with another man in the church. And they were both married. They get divorced. They get remarried. And she's pastoring a church down here. You know what that is? It's a false prophet. It's a lie of the devil. And it's the Antichrist. Oh, but Jesus loves them. He forgave them. You're a fool. You don't understand the love of God or the forgiveness of God. You can't do those kind of things. Well, you think they can be put in hell? Oh, sure I do. You think they're on their way to hell? Sure I do. Well, you think they could be saved? Sure I do. But they're not going to be walking as a pastor. If they find salvation, they're going to find humility and they're going to repent for their sins. They're going to find a place to fall on the altars of God and say, God, have mercy on my filthy, ungodly, wretched soul that I could find the mind of God. But they want to go on and they say, oh, but Jesus is love. That's why he shed his blood for us. He shed his blood that we could go off and we can stumble and stagger and sin. And he just comes and washes us away and we just continue on. You are deceived. That's doctrine of devils right there. Because that ain't the mind of God. The Bible said when you know to do right and you don't and you turn and sin knowingly, brothers and sisters, said there remaineth no more sacrifice for that sin, that you have one thing to look forward to, and that's the fiery indignation of God. And if you are the elect of God and you've willfully walked off into something, you just better hang on, because the scourging's coming and the whipping post is coming. Amen. And he'll take the power of the Holy Ghost and burn those things right out of you. And I watch it, brothers and sisters. I see some of them when the furnace doors open. Some come through like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and others are consumed up. Amen. And I'll tell you, there's things that are fixing to open up in some of your lives. Amen. Hang on. Get a hold of the revelation, the mind of God. And then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. People don't want nothing to do with the Christianity of America. There's people out here walking in our land and stuff that don't go to churches and don't go things because they're so sick of the hypocrisies and the things that are going on within the churches, and it don't make them right. They better start unifying and pulling together and helping. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and them shall the end come. When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet stand in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Now we talked about the abomination of desolation. We brought it into a present application in your own life. When you through your carnality and stuff say, hey, I'm a Christian. Bless God. I've got it all understood. Follow me. I know how things are. You know, man, I've been washed in the blood of Jesus. Let me go over here to the bar. I've been washed and cleansed in the blood of Jesus. Give me a snort and a smoke and do all these things. That might sound strong to you. I'm just unveiling the way the minds are. You know, well, bless God, I'm a Christian. I've been washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That is an abomination of desolation. You are standing there, the Antichrist in that temple, saying that he is a Christian and saying that he is a God. And all it is an abomination when you're not living and walking in Christ and living a Christ-like life. That's the abomination of desolation, and that will bring sudden destruction to you. You understand what I'm saying? That is what's going to bring sudden destruction to this world. That's the climax of everything. When that takes place, when this Antichrist, when I'm talking about the personification of him, just as Jesus comes back, when he comes back in all power and authority in that glorified body, there's going to be the reverse of that, and the son of perdition will come, but there's many Antichrists among us. That's the part you need to understand the revelation of, and you may be part of the Antichrist. The Bible says if you do not believe that Jesus is in the flesh, not was or is to come. It said if you don't believe that Jesus is now in the flesh, then you are Antichrist. And there's many people professing Christianity that are no more than Antichrist because they don't see Christ, the hope of glory, in the many-membered body. Brothers and sisters, different measures. There's some of them don't have the right doctrine, but they're part of that body. We need to discern that. We've got people that are maybe in the Baptist churches or these Pentecostal church stuff that are truly the elect of God. And we need to esteem them as Christ and love them as Christ. But they don't have the right doctrine, but they got the right spirit. They really, truly love God. They need people like you that are sound in doctrine and been established in the Word and in faith to lead them and help them and guide them. We got to get away from all the different things of this world and the perspective that's hindering us from doing what we're called to do. And we got to get on board. It's closing up. You know, you ain't going to have much more of an opportunity. Because when that dispensation shuts down, brothers and sisters, and closes up, it's over for your mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and friends and work acquaintances. It's over. There's no salvation on the other side. Some will come through by their own blood. There's many of these people that truly love God but haven't come to revelation and been caught away into heavenly places, and they will come through the tribulation. The Jews love God. Nobody can dispute that. They truly love God, but they denied Him. And these people that I'm speaking about in this religious world today, they truly love God. You go out here amongst them people, they love God. Many of them are making sacrifices, trying to support their pastors and different things and doing things. They truly love God, but they've been deceived in false doctrines. And some of them will go and make it in by their own blood because some of them have rejected what I'm preaching here this morning. They've rejected the present day truth. They've rejected the Lord Jesus Christ in now. You see, our God's still alive. Christ is still on the throne. He's still walking in a many-membered body. He's still presenting and still speaking and still talking, and hopefully it's through you. Let me go on just a little more. It says, then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. You see, brothers and sisters, when we think of the mountains, we're thinking of a catching up or a high place. We're bringing it to a present thought. Let him which is on the housetop, when you're puffed up in your own mind and you got yourself lifted up on the housetops, it's time to come down. Let him on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, but neither let him which is in the field return back in to take his clothes, and woe unto them that are with child. It says, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter. I made a statement about this the other day. Some of you are still little babies sucking on the milk of the word when you should be eating meat. And you need to pray that your flight not take place when you're in desiring the sincere milk of the word. And you better start getting a hold of the meat of the word, some substance, and get your teeth into some things and holding on, because you're desiring the sincere milk about Jesus dying and about him shedding his blood for you and cleansing you and setting you apart. You need to get away, the Bible says, from the doctrine of repentance and go on into doctrines of faith and laying on of hands and into baptisms. The churches aren't even understanding the doctrines of baptism and chiding over those things. And they haven't had their sins remitted because they rejected the name of the Lord Jesus Christ because they're Catholic. When you've been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, you are of the devil and lost on your way to hell because your sins have never been remitted. I was baptized in the name Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. What is the name? It's Jesus. Amen. You see, I was a Pentecostal preacher, and I didn't come to that revelation. I sat in the churches, and the preachers lied to me, took me to the water hole and said, I'm baptized you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And they never mentioned the name of Jesus. That's the name. Jesus said, I came in my Father's name. What was it? Jesus. Jesus is the only name given among men that thou shalt be saved. Sometimes you have to leave the 99 and go after the one. You leave the name of the Lord Jesus out. See, that's Catholic Church, Catholic doctrine from the Nicene Council. And there's people that sit in my midst and in my presence, never been baptized in the wonderful name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. And when your sin's not remitted, that means the sting of death is on you and you will perish. The only way that you could pass from death unto life is by being born again and having your sins remitted. Well, I believe that Jesus took away my sin. If you believe that, you'll believe the word and you'll find it just like it did when they were filled with the Holy Ghost in the book of Acts, that the Spirit of God came, they were filled with the Holy Ghost and they spoke with other tongues. And it said, would any forbid these water? And they still found it necessary to take them men and baptize them in the name of Jesus Christ. Matthew 28:19 says, go baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Go find where it's fulfilled at. What was the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? His name's Jesus. They baptized them in Acts the 2nd chapter 9 and 10 and 19. And it was all done in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And either the 11 that was there, it's recorded in verse 17 that the 11 of them was there. And if the 11 of them there, they must have not understood. Those apostles must not have understood God whatsoever at all, because they didn't go do it in the name of the... They did go do it in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, but they knew what that name was. Father, Son, and Holy Ghost is a title. It doesn't have the power to remit sin, but what has the power to remit sin is Jesus. No other name. A little sidestep there. Now we're going to go on. That was for you. Amen. Who are you talking to? You that ain't been baptized in Jesus' name. If you think your sins were remitted in that other name, you're deceived and you're walking in Antichrist doctrine and Catholicism. Catholic Church is the one that changed it in 321. The Nicene Council, they changed it the way baptisms went forth. But the early church, they done it properly. Let's stay with the things that are proven, the things that are right. Don't be ashamed of the name of the Lord Jesus. Okay, and woe unto them that are with child and give suck in those days, but pray that your flight not be in the winter. Some people, the Bible says, we're instant in season, not out of season. Or some people in the winter time of their life right now, there's no fruit of the Spirit upon their tree. And you need to pray that your flight not be in the winter. You need to get some fruit on your trees by putting some dung around the tree and start killing yourself out and pruning. Allow the preacher to prune you back a little bit and start receiving the things that are good for you. And you need to get some fruit on your tree, because if your flight comes, you got no fruit in a tree, in winter you're going to find yourself in trouble because you won't be able to stand. When it's winter time, that means the sap and the life has done come down out of the tree. Amen. It says, but pray that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. And you say, what would that have to do with? Let me tell you, some people are so religious, brothers and sisters. And he said that he's afraid of you when you esteem one day greater than the other. He's afraid of you when you're looking for signs. Some people are so religious that when this thing comes, they're going to be so religious. They're so law-minded and so bound to the Sabbath and things that they're going to need. The only thing that's going to help them through this is the Spirit. And they're so religious and bound that they're not even going to make it through. Let me tell you, the Jews over there on the Sabbath day, when Jesus healed one need to be healed, they wanted to stone him for doing it on the Sabbath day. They get over there and they got their Sabbath day elevators. They won't even push the button that says number 5 or number 4 to get on an elevator. They got to have the doors open and close on every floor as it goes up. They got a little wire running around the town that if you walk out past that wire right there, that you've gone farther than a Sabbath day journey. You see, they're so bound up by the law. When this thing takes place on their Sabbath day and they're not allowed to go that, they won't even be able to flee. But there's people bound up in that same kind of mindset of religion that won't be able to follow the Spirit and be led by the Spirit because they're so religious, bound up in their ideology, that they won't see the move of God and find the escape for their own life and their own self. Amen. For then shall great tribulation such as was not since the beginning of the world this time, no ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Brothers and sisters, some shorten the number of their days by their disobedience. And if it wasn't for the things that are happening, the chastening of the Lord, there's people that call themselves Christians and sons of God, and the election of God, that their days are shortened. And if God didn't pull back his wrath, there wouldn't be any standing, because there's a shaking and a chastening and a tribulation that's coming, even to the elect, that we can get a hold of some things and stand strong and not be moved. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in secret chambers, believe it not. For as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Let me tell you something, brothers and sisters, you won't hide it. When you are filled with the Holy Ghost, it's just like that lightning going from the east to the west. It ain't going to be something hid behind a bushel, brother. So it's going to come forth, amen, right now in this present day and hour. And where so the carcasses is, there the eagles will be gathered together. Now, I can bring that into a present perspective of thought when you're thinking about, right, this whole carcass, this whole thing, and you think of the eagles and the strength of mounting up our wings with eagles and catch away, where you find this carcass, where the Bible also says another one will parallel with it, when the sons of God came to present themselves, there also is the devil. So you'll see, bringing it into another perspective of thought. Let me go on here. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened. I'm not taking away, brothers and sisters, a futuristic passage of these scriptures. But see, Jesus said these things would come pass in that generation. Or past. So I'm bringing it to you as a present day truth that you could apply it in your life and you could miss this natural tribulation, because some of you haven't endured the spiritual tribulation. And if you can't endure the spiritual tribulation, you won't endure the natural one. And the spiritual tribulation, I should say soulish tribulation is what I should say, because when you get in the spirit, there's peace and strength and stability and steadfastness. So it's the tribulation that's taking place in your soul of a manifestation of this, but it's going to go to a natural world that every eye will see. Some people are shaken. Some people have been turned over to the tormentors in their mind. Some people have already walked in hell in this present time. You see, so it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, the thing is when we brought it out again on Friday night about the moon realm and about Jesus coming in that thing and reflecting all the light of the Father, the Spirit, everything went back unto him. Brothers and sisters, there's a darkening that's even taken place as we now speak. The lights are going out. Bright lights, and these things are falling and going out, brothers and sisters, because there's such a shaking happening in the heavenly realms. And when this gross darkness, see, before this, when we'd say the end, it says a gross darkness. They're talking about in this world order. And there's a gross darkness of human reasoning and carnality. I mean, it's overtaken everything and everywhere. It's infiltrated the other way. The Bible talks about Satan climbing up in the other upper lintels. That's the churches of America. He's climbed up. He's got them under control. The churches and the church government of America is carnal and natural. They got carnal-minded businessmen that are calling themselves deacons that are voting preachers in and out. I had one of them carnal-minded deacons in my home the other day talking about his preacher, and it puts the fear of God in me to hear him talking like that. When you think that you could sit back and reason the way your preacher's doing and what you're going to do, and you're going to vote him out and going to put him in, God will slay you. I don't care if the preacher's in error or not. You just got that kind of mind. God will slay you. I'm telling you, that's the mindset of the religion of America. When they want to sit back and think they're going to vote a preacher in or vote a preacher out, it don't come that way. God's never intended it to be that way. You better take heed to what the preachers are saying. And then shall appear a sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all these tribes the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. I can bring that out into present day truth as the glory of God, the power of God, in the great cloud of witnesses, we as the children of God walking in the earth. We could bring that veil over and see it now and understand that. And many people reject that. And it shall send his angels with great sound of a trumpet, the voices of God going forth in the earth. And they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know the summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, listen, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. How come people don't see that and understand that? But you see, it is fulfilled, but then yet again, there is going to still be a fulfilling of this. This is why we have to break things down into a dimensional projection. There's a natural elect and a spiritual elect. And hopefully, brothers and sisters, you're making this physical, the elect, right now. The natural elect is the Jew. The spiritual elect is the spirit Jew, the inner quickening. But you need right now, through the transformation of mind, redeem this body through the marriage. Paul said, I show you a mystery. When the man and woman marry, they become one in the flesh. Didn't say one in the spirit, one in the flesh. One in the flesh. That means that you're going to make this fleshly man one with the Spirit of Christ. You're going to make this bride perspective one to the mystery. You're going to make it one. And when you get that under subjection and a woman comes through submission to the headship of that inner quickened masculine, when you get that thing in order and lined up, I'm not talking about you husbands and wives. I'm talking about your personal relationship with Jesus. When you get this bride lined up with Him and walking in His mind and His will, that is, brothers and sisters, the revealing of Christ in the earth. Right there. That is when you become one in the flesh. But there has to be done through transformation of mind and thought. And you say, well, you're making it into works. I'm just showing you faith by works. I'm showing you faith by my works. I'm showing you faith. And I'm saying, if you got enough faith unto salvation to live in eternity with Christ, then you're going to have to show your faith unto salvation, because you can't earn this by works. But the only way that you could show your faith is by works, not your scripture retention. Not your quotes, not because you've been on some Sunday school board or because you've paid your tithes into some kind of church. The only way that you're going to show me that faith unto salvation, it'll be seen and recognized within the doing of your own life. Amen. Heaven and earth shall not pass away, but my words shall not pass away. We know that it says here, the heavens and the earth shall pass away. This earthen vessel part of you shall pass away, but His word shall never pass away when you become one with His word. You see, but this body abideth forever, just as the earth abideth forever. This earth will pass away in the form that you know it is now, but it will abide forever. This earth will go through a metamorphosis and after the tribulation, and this thing snaps back upright on its axis. It'll show your life as you come to righteousness in Christ and come upright by walking in the power of salvation and girding up your loins as a child of God. As you walk upright amongst this crooked, perverse generation of snakes and vipers, as you walk upright as the earthen vessel, this earth will pop upright in this millennium time. It'll be upright, but that's not the finishing of the matter. It will go through another change in to celestial as streets of pure translucent gold, just as this body will. So the thing is the millennial earth will be a beautiful thing, but it's not the end of the matter. And when you, brothers and sisters, it says even beautiful are the feet of them who bring good news, brothers and sisters, of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost and walking in righteousness and upright, that's a beautiful thing, brothers and sisters, but that's not even what God's got in store for us. But that's something that has to take place through that metamorphosis. It's got to come upright. You're going to have to get a hold of your life, get a hold of the altars of God, and get your life upright and start walking with God. I pray and hope that Brother Rob's words ain't ringing to you while you're going through the fire of tribulation, paying with your own blood. I hope you won't hear these words ringing in your ears. Say, I should have took heed to the things that I heard. I should have heard the exhortation of the preacher that loved me. And even though I warred with him in my mind and spirit and travailed against him, I hope that these words ain't going to be ringing in your ears as you find yourself in the religious vomit with the rest of America and throughout all of the world. Let's go right here, 37. It says, but as the days of Noah, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day of Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. That's something to take a heed to. You know, just like in this time, here's a man of God pouring his heart out to the people of that generation, of that time, saying to take heed. And they mocked him, ridiculed him. You know, I've been called ritualistic. I've been called, you know, oh, you're just in some old-fashioned, Brother Pikes. People mean him turned away from holiness and said, ah, you know, he was just old-fashioned. It's not necessary. What I'm trying to tell you, brothers and sisters, there is a deterioration, and it's shaken, and people are going to be shook, slapped loose, and ain't going to have a chance, and ain't going to be able to make it, because there's such ignorance going on throughout all of the churches everywhere. And when I could bring these problems right home to here, and of people that sit under this great light, and you see them changing and making the change, changes and the rock and roll music and all the different kind of stuff that's infiltrating, then there's a problem. We need to hear preachers still need to keep raising their voices up like a trumpet. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding in the mill, one shall be taken and the other one left. Watch therefore, for you know what hour your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his own house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready for such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is the servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all of his goods. But, and if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants. Listen, sometimes we find ourselves being led by the Antichrist, and we don't even know it when Satan is the accuser of the brethren. And shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and to drink with the drunken. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he is not aware of, and shall cut him asunder, and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Brothers and sisters, the thing is we know that God has already come. We don't read these passages of scriptures talking about this great and terrible day of the Lord that the Bible speaks about. We know that he's come. And the thing is that the coming of the Lord is to you today. And many of you didn't see the coming, didn't see the appearing, how he came to you and how he appeared to you. And the thing is that we need to take heed to these things and consider and look. Now, when we see the things as a global perspective, looking into another dimension, we see the things that are setting up, the things in Israel there, the things that are coming to pass there right now. And when we can start seeing these things happening, coming to pass on a global perspective, we know that it's a finality or a finishing up of this revelation that we're speaking about. Brother Pike made a statement. He come walking out of the Father's house, and there was a few brethren in there one evening, and he come out and he said, brethren, it's finished. He said, it's finished. All the mysteries are finished. He's already brought these things out. I'm not preaching something that Brother Pike never preached. I'm just coming to get my eyes opened up to a lot of it myself. And the thing is when he said it's finished, there was a finishing that took place. Maybe it wasn't finished in my life because there was a lack of understanding. The thing is I've got to tell you like this, is that we have got to press into the mind of revelation, the mind of Christ, and understand it. So the thing is I'm not waiting for some prophet or some great man of God to come back on the scene or this and that. Everything has been taking place. I've spoke enough information to you on just the last two services to finish up all things in the perspective of the things that I said. If you could perceive it by the mind of God, you won't get it by carnality. Some of you are blinded in part because of your natural human reasoning and because of your frolics in the world and partakers of the world. God hides this from you and you'll never see it. Never understand it. As we read in the scriptures of 2 Thessalonians, it said that he had blinded them and turned them over to a delusion. That's where America is. God's the one that's done this to America. You could say the devil done it, this ain't no God blind them. He don't want this religious vomit in his kingdom. It's vomit on the tables of God. He don't want people reasoning against him on a continuous basis. And when you are continually in your human mind, human reasoning against God and against God's people and God's things and God's ways, God don't want you. You're vomit on his table. You're a stench in his nostrils. You know who you're talking to? I'm talking to every single one of you in your first birth. I'm talking about every single one of you in the way you think. I'm talking about every single one of you in your religion. It's vomit. And the thing is you need to get shaken loose of that thing and get a hold of God and walk in the Spirit of God. And when I can see the mind of God, the compassion of God, the charity of God, the love of God, denying yourself with humility, true, genuine humility, not just with lip service, but true, genuine humility, and esteeming others greater than yourself and doing good to them that are taking advantage of you and using you, then I say you've come to the revelation of the mind of God and the mind of revelation. Nothing's come your way. Evil can't come to you lest he send it, and there's God's allowing things, and some of you are stumbling over little trivial nothing things that'll hinder you from the kingdom of God. But I'm telling you, major things are coming, major, major things. So we better get these little things in order real quick, real quick. It'd be easy to just throw up a hand and say, oh man, just may as well forget it. Well, you can go away, but I'm hanging on. I'm enduring to the end. It's ye that endure to the end. And some of the things that are shaking you now ain't nothing. So you better get a hold of the altars of God and the spiritual mind of God and the revelation of things that you cannot be soon shaken. Because there ain't nothing, brothers and sisters. Nothing should stand between you and God. Nothing monetarily, nothing family, nothing. If you love your wife more than you do God, you're not worthy to call yourself a Christian. If you love your children more than you love God, you're not worthy to be considered a son of God. He's a jealous God. Very jealous God. And you think, well, I don't know if I like that. I love it. Amen. Because he's jealous over us and he made a way and paved the way for us, so to speak. And he caught us in and cleansed us. I'll tell you, we're serving such an awesome, loving God. Amen. A merciful God. I'm not taking the mercies of God away, because if it wasn't for the grace and the mercies of God, there ain't a one of you be sitting here, including myself. He would have done cast us all into hell from our intellectual carnality and human reasoning. But just rend the veil between your thoughts and his thoughts. Start rending the veil. Start challenging the way you think. Try the spirit and see if it would be of God. Because many times you're taking heed to seducing spirits and you think it's God talking to you. And it's a familiar spirit, a seducing spirit. It's an antichrist spirit. And they're sometimes tough to rend the veil between. There ain't a person sitting in my sound of my voice or looking at me this morning that hasn't failed in what I just said, including myself. Brothers and sisters, let's show God the love that we have for him by giving our life as a living sacrifice. Let's show God the love that we have for him by obedient lifestyle. That's how we know that we love God. How we know that we pass from death unto life is because we love the brethren. There needs to be a love within our brotherhood, a love. And there is these things. I'm not going to sit here and condemn you and say there's not a love of God here. I think I'm standing before some wonderful, great people, and I love you. But what I'm saying is I'm saying there's too much son of perdition that's living in your life too. And when this thing finishes out, it's going to be one way or the other. When we talk about the soul realm, the twilight realm, there's not going to be no bitter water and sweet water coming out of the same well, or light and darkness. Well, let me tell you, that's speaking in the spirit. Because let me tell you, when you get in the twilight realm, twilight means that there's a mixture of light and darkness. When you get in the soul realm, brothers and sisters, there's a mixture of them. But it's going to come to whatever you give servitude to, you're either going to become one with darkness or one with light. And there is a dispute right now over that body that's taking place right now. And the one that you are of, your Father will be revealed and it'll be made who your father is. Some of you say that you're of Christ and your father is the devil. So that'll be a revealing that's on the right on the threshold of taking place, and it'll be an unveiling. There's already been some turned over to reprobate minds because they believed a lie and they're damned. There's some that have come against this, and I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about against this revelation, against this teaching. They've come against me. They've come against Brother George. They've come against Brother William Branham. They've come against Jesus Christ. They come against Brother Paul. They come against Peter. They've come against these. The whole church world, they'll number me as a cult from the things I teach. You know why? Because they're religious, just like the Sanhedrin was religious when they crucified Jesus on the cross. And I've been crucified in this present day and hour, been crucified because I teach the Word of God and the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. I teach you who you are. The Bible said that men die because of a lack of knowledge. I brought you to a knowledge of understanding, but it's got to come to a spiritual revelation. But I've submitted it to you in an intellectual application that you could hear it through the natural ears and pray that God would grant it to you as a revelation of who you are in Christ, that you are no longer of this world. That old creature passed away and been crucified with Christ, and that you no longer live, and now it's Christ living and dwelling within you. That's something that we've got to come to. That's the hope of glory, and we've got to reveal that. You can't reveal that by speaking it. You reveal that by showing it. Jesus, that's why he came. The Word was here. They spoke about God, but the people didn't see it. They had to see it, and we got to see it in you, the hope of glory, Christ. Let's stand together. I love you all and appreciate you, brothers and sisters. When I see things happening on a global perspective, I know that that's a beginning of another dimension altogether of time. And when I say that, I know that that means that there's got to be a finishing off of one. And when this one is finished off, and when it's done, it's over. Your day and hour is over, completed, and done with. Amen. I hope you could believe that. I hope you could see that. I hope you can comprehend that. And hope you can understand that. I'm not telling you that World War III is happening. I'm just telling you the man that used to be the head of the Republican House, I think his name is Gingrich. I might have that wrong. But he made that statement this morning. He said, and it's the man sitting there with him that represented the Democratic Party. These two men were real close in similarity of thought. And I kind of like to see that they were agreeing together, what they called Mideast crisis. And they were agreeing together even on the solutions. And they both, even the Republican, was not in agreement with the president on some of the decisions that he's making on foreign policies and things. And these two men weren't in quiet agreement together, but this one and one disagreed. But he said, I tell you this, he goes, I believe this is the beginning of the Third World War, is what he said. And I could say this, that does it bear witness with me? I could say, yeah, yes, it does. I say, you know, if you want to really go back, you could say the beginning of the Third World War was back in 1991 when George Bush, the first one, went in there. It's all shaken, and there's been a shaking. It hadn't really recited yet. You know, there's a lot of people that would like to destroy Israel. They'd like to take it off the face of the earth. And there's a lot of people that would like to destroy America. And there's a lot of religious leaders in America that'd like to shut my mouth because I'm preaching against their hypocrisies and against their religion, against their order of what they call the church. It's a false church, brothers and sisters. There's truly elect of God. We've got Christians out here in the Baptists, the Methodists, the Church of God, the Pentecostals. We got the elect of God, the people that truly love God in it. I'm not saying different than that. I know that we got people that love the Lord out there, and I believe His elect is out there. But what I'm saying is if they're looking for strength in their denominationalism and saying, oh, well, this is what's right, as they're denying the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ in a present-day truth, and they're looking for an Antichrist to come on the scene, they've done missed it because he's done climbed up into their denominationalism and blinded their minds. And they don't see good when good comes. Amen. Don't deny the revelation of the Lord. Don't deny who you are in Him. And let Him live and have His way within your life. Let's sing a song or two together. Appreciate your time this morning. As I said, Friday night, I encouraged the brethren because I found a real unity and a drawing of the Spirit. And really allowed me to get into some things on Friday. And I appreciate that. I really, truly did. That the brethren really made a sincere effort to receive and to hear and listen. And this morning I appreciate your diligence to listen and to take heed to the things that you've heard. I love you and appreciate you. Let's stand together. Thank you, Jesus. Let Him minister to your hearts. The altars are open this morning.
And help us to.
I can feel His mighty presence, brothers and sisters, in the midst of a perverse and crooked generation of snakes, vipers, and hypocrites with the chaos that's going on in the Middle East. Guess what I found? I stand here in a perfect peace and a sound mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, with a stability and hope in faith, amen. Hallelujah. Is there any others that want to come into the altars? Let's unify our brotherhood, brothers and sisters. There shouldn't be any schisms and strifes, jealousies and envies between us. We need to be together as one. Amen. Let's all just lift our hands unto the Lord and let's pray together. Hallelujah. I feel the grace of God, the love of God. I feel the power of His salvation here this morning. I can feel the peace of God. Can you feel the peace of His Spirit this morning? Hallelujah. I feel a perfect peace. Hallelujah. As I feel the unction of the Holy Ghost surge through my body in the virtue of the living God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and let Him fill you with His Spirit. Let the peace of His Holy Ghost come upon you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Can you feel the Spirit of the Lord in your heart? Can you feel the move of the Spirit in your body? Hallelujah. I can feel the presence of a living God. Have you yielded to that this morning? Can you feel the gifts of the Spirit moving in your heart right now as the Spirit of God speaketh? I feel the Spirit. Hallelujah. I feel the gifts, Lord. Have you found the Word ministering to your spirit? I found the Word this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you found the exhortation of a living God present in your life today? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Have you found the edification of thy spirit speaking to your heart this morning? Have you got a hold of the altars this morning? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
presence of the Lord is in this place.
Have you found that peace that surpasses all understanding? Thank you, Jesus. I found the peace, brothers and sisters. I've anchored into that peace this morning. Have you anchored into that peace this morning? Have you got a hold of His hand? Have you put your hand in that nail-scarred hand of the Lord Jesus this morning? You find that insurance in your heart and that peace? Thank you, Jesus. Just let the Lord minister to your hearts, brothers and sisters. It's a wonderful time in the mind of God and the revelation of the Lord. This is what all the brethren that have gone on, that have passed on into rest and sleep, have been looking for, is this very day and hour. Let me read these scriptures and we're going to continue on here as we stay in the altars for a moment longer. Let's tarry for a moment longer. I'm going to read these scriptures to you and I want you to unveil these again in the mind of the present truth. It says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto Him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand," paralleling perfectly with this morning. "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that the man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God, shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, and that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast, hold the traditions." I said this the other night. I said there's one passage of scriptures tells us to turn away from the traditions of the elders. But here it's telling us to hold on to those traditions. See, that's why we got to come into the mind of God, "which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle, now our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God, even our Father, which have loved us and have given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good work." Every good word and work. Amen. Let's sing that song again, brothers and sisters. I wanted to read these passages of scriptures to you to go in correlation with those things. Let's just sing this. The devil can't rob this from you, brothers and sisters. Don't allow carnality of human reason to rob this from you. Let this be our prayer that God would be renewing in us a right spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I can tell you from my heart, brothers and sisters, this morning, I love you. I can stand as an insurance that I passed from death unto life because I truly love you. I could love you in your shortcomings and your stumblings and staggerings. I could truly love you. I have no hatred or animosity against you or for you because I truly love you. But I say, get a hold of the altars of a living God and let this love of God be in you. God has not cut you off. There's not a man standing in my presence that's been cut off from God. I can tell you that. But don't play games with God. Let's get a hold. Let's take the things that we know, the things that we comprehend, the things that we understand, and press in to God and help others. People are perishing and are lost and going to hell, brothers and sisters. And we need to get a hold of the things that we know and not let these things be taken and stripped away or be soon shaken. Brothers, let's stand together. Hallelujah. Most gracious fathers, we stand united together in the wonderful mind of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing, Lord God, that you're separating the sheep and the goats. And Lord God, knowing, Lord, that even some that would even hear this will be separated, Lord God. But Father God, I pray a prayer of faith right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Father God, that I pray that these words will be received and heard, Lord God, that any time that we as the brethren will not let these things slip, Lord God, that we can stand together, Father, knowing that we are weak, and knowing that we are weak, Lord, are saying that we're strong by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, as I pray a prayer together right now, that you would bind us together, O God, in the mind of revelation, in the mind of the Lord. O God, bind us together and let us be a strong cord that wouldn't be easily be broken, Lord God, in this day and in this hour, that we would not be moved, Lord God, by any spirits or any false doctrines, Lord God, that we can stand on the things that we have heard and be mighty men of valor, standing together and not moved by every wind of doctrine, Lord God, that we could be a bright light, Lord God, standing forth in the day of darkness, Lord. Strengthen this brotherhood in this church, Lord God, that we could unite together and help others to receive this wonderful word of life and revelation as we see that door closing, Lord God, on the dispensation of grace. Father, we love you and we thank you. We thank you, Lord, for the repentance that you've granted here this morning. Father, we thank you that the prayers are heard, Lord God. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you are restoring the years that the cankerworm has tried to destroy and take away. Father God, I thank you, Lord God, that you're establishing us in mind and thought that we can stand together, Lord, knowing that this isn't a one-man show, that we cannot do this without the help of each other. Lord God, let us take the strengths in each and one of our lives and unify it together with our brethren, that we can overcome the weaknesses in our own lives. Lord God, as we unify together and encourage one another and hold hands up of one another. Father, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Satan, I serve you notice in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I adjure you, Satan, that you have no authority, not over one soul here, not over one life here, that you have no authority and no power. We render you weak and powerless because we have united together in the mighty man, mind of Christ. And Satan, you cannot touch, you cannot kill nor destroy because we've passed from death unto life. We've been caught away and hid in Christ. And you can't touch us. And your lying thoughts of trying to get us to receive your mind, of your lying doubt, we cannot hear you. And we cannot receive in the name of the Lord Jesus. We've overcome you. You are powerless. You are weak. You cannot take. It's already been given. And we're sealed in. And we've passed from death. And you are the prince of death. And we pass from death unto life. And we cannot die. And you cannot touch us. You have no strength of us. Satan, you're a liar, and you cannot deceive because we've came in and we've girded up our loins into the mind of Christ, the mind of revelation. You cannot get to where we're at, you lying devil. I thank you, Lord Jesus, for the mind of Christ, the mind of revelation, the mind of peace, stability. I thank you, Lord God, that we cannot be shaken, oh God. Hallelujah. I thank you for this peace, oh God. And I pray, Lord God, and impart in the name of Jesus peace this morning, Lord God, into thy brotherhood and their families and these sisters in the name of the Lord Jesus, that we could stand unified together, Lord God. Let us take each other hand in hand, not pierce each other through nor break rank, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, the ones who be listening by the way of phone this morning, Father, as I pray for them to be strengthened and encouraged in the mind of revelation, the mind of Jesus this morning. Father, we thank you, Lord God. We love you and praise you in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Let's tarry for a moment longer, brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord. Let him minister to your hearts this morning. Everything's fine. God's love, spirit of love. If you could take heed to the message this morning and press in to the things of God. Denying carnality and human reasoning. Put those things behind you. Everything's fine. You can't do this on your own. You're going to have to do it in the mind of God and by the Spirit of revelation. Thank you, Jesus. Lift our hands and let the Spirit of the Lord have His way. He's still ministering to hearts. Hallelujah. Can you feel your spirit being caught away into heavenly places? I feel a rapturing spirit, brothers and sisters, a catching up. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord Jesus. I've got a perfect peace this morning in my heart. I'm not shaken, brothers and sisters. I've got my hand in the nail-scarred hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just close our eyes and lift our hands as we close the service. Just sing to the Lord this morning. Let your heart out to Him. You shouldn't have to be encouraged to praise Him and love Him and worship Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. I feel His presence, His Spirit. Can you lift your hands up and feel the power of a living God flow through your innermost being? I feel that love and that peace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not the rain on the just and the unjust. I feel that purging and that rain coming from the innermost being. That latter-day rain and that former rain. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. I love you, Jesus. We love you, Lord, and we praise you and we thank you. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that you've granted life and salvation and peace here this morning. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I could stand in His presence all day, brothers and sisters, and not grow weary, as I found His love pouring out in His heart and His mind and His thoughts. And I feel the Spirit of resurrection and power and regeneration and healing. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Are you partakers? Have you eaten? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Could the Lord say to you this morning, though you have ears, you do not hear? I hope not. I hope the Lord says, well done, my good and faithful servant, enter in. Are you waiting to hear that? I've already heard that. I've already entered in. Hallelujah. I'm not looking at that as future, brothers and sisters. I want to hear Him say every day when I enter into the throne of grace boldly, and I hear Him say, enter in. Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've killed out and saw that man of perdition, and you've put him under your feet. Come on in and enter in. Amen. I don't want to be deceived, brothers and sisters, and walk in that kind of mind or kind of set. Amen. We're serving a God that's now. We're serving a God that's alive now. He's in His kingdom now. We're in His kingdom now. We're present with Him now. We're in heavenly places now. We've already passed from death unto life. We are eternal, hid in, sealed in. You better get established in that, because when this other one is cut off and you're standing in strength of flesh and intellect, you're going to find that you're weak and feeble and have nothing and been deceived. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. What you sow is what you reap. Sow into the kingdom of God. Sow into the mind of God. Sow into the revelation of the Lord. Sow thoughts that are spiritual. Think on these things that are virtuous, righteous, and godly, and holy. Let your mind start being on those things. Start encouraging your brethren. Start speaking of your brethren greater than yourself. And when you come to that, you've come to the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let's sing this together.
We are one in the
Spirit, we are one in the Lord.
We'll get Brother Paul to dismiss us this morning. But just lift our hands and let this be a prayer and a hope and a faith in your heart. If you are in Christ, you are one with Him. And if you are one with Him, I'm one with you and you're one with me. I'm within you and you're within me. Amen. That's the hope that we have in faith and in God. Brother Pike said you could put iodine in a glass of water and stir it up. And he said, somebody separate that. Brother Pike had a vision. And he said there was, his brethren were like these mighty strong horses. He said they was all around him, facing him, and his muscles were clenched. He said he looked at him, and he said the blood veins were popping out of these horses' legs, and they were so strong and so muscular. He said these wild stallions and mustangs and stuff were all around about him, and he was right in the middle of all them strong horses. And he said these things were running and coming against them, and they were just bouncing off. They couldn't even get to him. And he was talking about his brethren, brothers and sisters. That's what he was speaking about, is what God was showing him. And that's what we got to have, the same unity, the same mind, the same strength, brothers and sisters, to stand together. You might be an awesome soldier. You might be very skilled in all the ways of weapons and things like that, but you don't want to face the enemy by yourself. Amen. I want to have men that are skilled and are good soldiers for Christ that kept themselves unspotted from the affairs of the world, is what the Bible says. And that's what I want to have around me, that when we unify together, that one could set 1,000, two could set 10,000. And the thing that moved me to Little Bethlehem across the country is because I saw a brotherhood in unity, in one mind. Yeah, the devil was there, I know, but I saw by the Spirit the unity of a brotherhood, and it was manifesting in their labors and their deeds and their actions. And I saw that, and it brought me there, brothers and sisters, and that's how we win souls. Not by telling people about Jesus being their God and their Savior. We win souls by letting Him live in our lives and being revealed in each and every one of us. Let's sing one more song together, and we'll get Brother Paul to dismiss us in prayer. Pray together. Encourage one another. Take heed to the things that you hear, lest at any time you let these things slip. Stand as we see the day approaching. Thank you, Lord Jesus.
We hope this message has enlightened and encouraged you. If you would like other messages and teachings from Brother Rob, please feel free to contact us. Our web address is christiantempleonline.org. Or you may write us at Christian Temple, P.O. Box 735, High Point, North Carolina, 27261. We, the brothers and sisters at Christian Temple, would like to invite you to come and worship with us. Our services are on Sunday morning at 10 a.m., Wednesday night at 7 p.m., and we also have a Friday night service at 7 p.m. We are located at 304 Green Oak Drive, just off Highway 62 in Archdale. Thanks again, and may God richly bless you.